St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he gives preachers some important advice. He says that we exist to preach Christ and Christ crucified above all else. For Paul, it is about Jesus Christ. It is about the cross, it is about the empty tomb, it is about Christ alive in our world and what that means. And I struggle with Paul's advice, in so much as I struggle with how much to talk about myself. I'm here to talk about Christ and Christ crucified, not about the life and times of Pastor Sheldon. But my query or my conundrum lies in the fact that I experience Christ. I experience the persecution of Christ. I experience the resurrection of Christ. I experience the reality of Christ in my daily life. I cannot confine Jesus of Nazareth to an event 2,000 years ago. I cannot stand here and simply give a history lesson of what has happened. Christ is alive. And I know that to be true in my daily existence. So I find myself coming back to square one often. How to preach Christ and Christ crucified, but I can only speak of the Christ that I know. I can only speak of the way that Jesus surprises me. I can only speak of the way that I gain new understandings of what Christ suffered, what Christ enjoyed, and Christ's words and wisdom for us in my living life. The gospel is personal. Our relationship with God, with Christ, is meant to be personal. This is simply not an affair of the head. These are not simply truths that we posit to one another, that we write down on paper and we agree to. This is something we feel, something we experience. It's a feeling we get when we're all alone at night in darkness. It might be found in a tear that we shed when we're driving alone somewhere, in the embrace of a friend, the smile from one of our children, whatever it may be, we experience the love of God, the joy of creation, the reality of Christ's presence in personal and unique ways. We come to All Saints Sunday, and Luther turned the idea of sainthood upside down. For Luther's church, the Roman church, sainthood was something bestowed upon people. They would set up commissions to see who was worthy to receive the title of saint. Who were these men and women who did such great acts of faith? Such amazing miracles? Who brought, like in the case of St. Patrick, whole countries into the realm of Christendom that were worthy to be saints? These were special people. These were amazing people. These were people that God worked through. These were people that we need to hold up, that we need to venerate, that we need to honor in our daily worship and daily lives. And thus the Roman Church had the convention of sainthood. Martin Luther said, that's fine and dandy. These are good people. We should recognize St. Paul and St. Thomas. We should recognize St. Patrick. They did amazing things. But who were these people to you? They are people of history, people of different origin, people of different stories. Who are the amazing people in your life? Who are the people who have loved you? Who are the people who have walked with you? Who are the people that have blessed you? They're your neighbors, your co-workers, your family, your spouses, your children, your sister, your brother. These are the saints of our lives. These are the people who inspire us. These are the people that we look for guidance. These are the people we pick up the phone and call during dark days. These are the people who we know we can reveal our true selves to, our true worries, our true joys, our true concerns. These are the people who we experience the living Lord with. They are the people that we recognize today as we gather on this All Saints Sunday. We don't simply recognize this cloud of saints, these foreign figures with names bigger than life, who did events that we cannot relate to. Christianizing a whole country, slaying some ruthless king, bringing the gospel to Norway, whatever it may be, that's great. But today we come with a more personal story. We cherish grandparents, relatives, friends, neighbors, whatever it may be. These are the saints that God has put into our lives. It's difficult. Death is difficult. In the moment of death, a life ends. But the more that I am with death, the more that I mourn death, I realize it is not the end of a life that makes me so sad. It is the end of a relationship that makes me sad. And the two are very different. In death, a relationship ends. My relationship with someone has been terminated. I will not share a Christmas morning with them anymore. I will not share a cup of coffee with them anymore. A joke with them, a walk with them, an email with them, whatever it may be, that has seemingly ended. And that's cause for sadness. It's cause for mourning. Because a little bit of our life, or maybe a whole large chunk of our life, has just been taken from us. It's the reality of our created being. This fleshly nature of us, this skin and bones, the cells, the neuroscience of our bodies. We know as we age, we are susceptible to disease. We are susceptible to aging. We are susceptible to simply the calendar pages turning. And as Christ says, it comes to us like a thief in the night. And to us who mourn, Christ says, blessed are you. How are we blessed? We who are sad. We who search for meaning. We who wonder, who will the next saint be in my life? Because certainly that can never be replaced, that relationship that has ended. I'm reminded of the words of Shakespeare. Is it better to have loved and lost than never loved at all? Can we build a wall around ourselves? Can we have no friendships? Can we have no love? Can we have no family? Can we have no concern for others around us? Can we have no love in our lives? Because if we have those lives, then we will have no loss. We will simply shrug our shoulders at death, because no relationship will be lost, because we have no relationship with the world around us. We had no brothers and sisters in faith. We had no deep friendships. We had no binds, no ties that last. But is that a life that should be celebrated? It is a life without tears. It is a life without pain. It is a life without hurting. It is a life that is not shaken by death. But I would say it is a life that is not fully lived. Blessed are you who mourn, Christ says to us, because we have had the blessing of love. We've had relationships in our lives in which we get to care about people, in which people care about us. Yes, they may have ended, and yes, we may be the worse for it, and we may carry the sting of that into our future lives. But while we had it, we had it. We know how good the love is. We know how deep the joy is. And in the depth of that love, in the depth of that joy, we find the depth of sadness. We find the depth of mourning. We can find the depth of aloneness. But we are blessed because we had it. Blessed are us who mourn, because we had love. And Christ gives warning also on the other side of the coin. Blessed are you who are laughing. Blessed are you who are full. Blessed are you who people speak well of, because Jesus knows things turn on a dime. Today's perfect day might be tomorrow's tragedy. Because death comes like a thief in the night. Bankruptcy comes out of nowhere. A phone call from the doctor's office never comes at a good time. So seize it. Seize the relationships around you. Be with people who walk with you. Receive love and give love. Find great joy in simple events and big events. Find meaning in raindrops that are falling in November. Find meaning in the person sitting beside you today at church. Find meaning in the person near you at work tomorrow. Because things can change so quickly. I wish it wasn't so. Jesus gives us a version of a better future. Jesus is aspirational. Jesus comes to people who are poor, people who are sick, and people who are outcast, and he says, imagine a world in which a son besmirches his father, steals his money, goes bankrupt and comes home and is welcomed back into open arms. Christ says, imagine that world. Imagine a world in which God gives up everything to search for you, Jesus says. Jesus says, imagine a world in where a rich man gathers all of his possessions, sells them, throws a banquet, and invites all of the beggars outside of his gates to supper. Imagine that world, Christ says. We don't need to imagine that world. We can live in that world. We can be the people who chase relationship. We can be the people who chase forgiveness and grace and love. We can be the people who chase the best things of God in our lives. If we dare to love, we will feel pain. If we take down our armor, our hearts will be pierced. If we take the veil away from ourselves, we might expose our frailty to the world. But it is only in doing that that we experience the depth of human life, that we truly make ourselves into God's people. It's tough. It's scary. Because we know ultimately there is mourning and there is tears on the other side of that great joy of fullness, on the great joy of happiness, on the great joy of popularity. Things can turn like that. And that is Christ's warning to us today. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are popular. Woe to you who are rich. Because things can change quickly. And the minute you take comfort in your popularity, the minute you take comfort in your richness, the minute you take comfort in your fullness, the minute you take comfort in your health, the minute you take comfort in your security, or whatever it may be, the minute you sit back and say, the world is mine, I am good, things will change. But we recognize that. We work on love. We work on charity. We work on grace. We work on forgiveness. We know how fragile these things are. But here we are. And we who are people who have been blessed, even in the midst of tears, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of mourning, we are still blessed. Because we have a reason to mourn. We have a reason to be sad. We have a reason for tears. And that reason is love. And love is God's ultimate gift to us. It is love that brings Christ into our lives. It is love that brings Christ into relationships. It is love that Christ comes to us and says, these days will be changed. There will be a new feast. There will be a new banquet. There will be a new gathering. These finite beings, these bodies, these things tied to the earth are not who you are. You are not hair and skin and teeth and toenails. You are spirit. You are created in the image of God. This is the eternal part of us. This is our being. This is the part that we love. This is the part that brings love and laughter and life and joy into life. And this is the part that is eternal. It is you. It is me. It is us. And so we wait for our heavenly reward. I wait to be greeted by those who have gone before me in the faith. I wait to experience that new creation. But I'm enjoying this one right now. I'm enjoying my time with you. I get to stand here. My daughter gets to help me lead worship. I've never had that before. I'm pretty excited about that. I'll never do that again. That's cause for a lot of celebration today. We'll have a supper tonight and I'll get to meet new people. And I'm really excited about that. Christmas is coming. I'm kind of excited about that. You who are here with me today, I'm excited about that. There is lots to be joyful in this life. And sometimes these things of joy will bring me sadness. Someday she'll leave, and I'll be sad. But does that mean I shouldn't love her now? Should I start preparing 10 years in advance? Email and text only? Or should I be so happy that I have today? I'm happy that I have today. I'm happy I have my life with you today. And if that changes, I'm still going to be happy that I had today with you. And there is lots to give joy in. Every one of these flowers, and we have so many more memories than could ever be put in any vases, that could ever be counted or enumerated, speaks to the love and greatness of the life that God has blessed us with. And it's okay to mourn it. It's okay to be sad about it. Because in that mourning and sadness, let us recognize the great gift that God has given us. And that is the gift of love. That somebody's life has meant so much to us that it has gone to the core of our being. That we are less in their absence. That as individuals, we were better with them than we are without them. That we have shared and we have laughed and we have cried and we have loved is not reason to be sad. It is reason to celebrate. Because I think it is better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. Amen.